The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey there. You know, I often shriek myself awake in the middle of the night in a cold sweat with heart palpitations because I have a recurring nightmare that I am the announcer for the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's truly, truly horrible.
But eventually I realize it's not a dream and I cry myself back to sleep in heaving sobs
because it's true. It's true.
And now your daily dose of sunshine, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Todd. Thanks. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to James Tour. This is the third conversation, the third hour with Dr. James Tour, an organic chemist at Rice University who works in nanoengineering, doing all kinds of stuff. We could talk about anything. Jim, thanks for being the kind of person where we can just talk about practically anything.
Well, I'm not sure about anything, but if we stick with nanotechnology, we'll be okay.
Well, we've veered away from nanotechnology. I mean, that's your field of expertise, but it's rare we get to talk to a bona fide scientist on this program. Most of my listeners are not scientists. I hope that doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't surprise
me.
Okay,
good. try to keep your emotions out of it, please. This is a podcast. So I guess I want to talk to you in this hour about evolution. We've talked about a number of things. It does seem that the world of evolution today has a problem. Stephen Jay Gould at Harvard, he began to write about this, that there are problems, that this idea that scientists have kind of figured this all out is not true. They keep discovering problems with the model of Darwinian evolution. What do you say about that?
Well, I think, yeah, there continue to be problems, there continue to be discoveries, and there continue to be things that give us problems. Scientists certainly have a way of explaining away problems. But if we think about evolution as a whole, it's gone away from being this Darwinian model of just natural selection being the guiding factor here. Really, it's gone to the theory of universal common descent, meaning that we are all coming from a single cell creature, and then there are different branches coming off. And so when people say that we have a common ancestor, say, with the chimpanzee, biologists are not suggesting that we have descended from chimpanzees, but that human beings and chimpanzees share a common ancestor, that both of us branched off. This is what they say.
Well, wait a minute. Forget about chimpanzees. If that's true, what you just said, then my dog and I share a common ancestor.
Yes, if you go far enough back.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
And every fish in the sea and I share a common ancestor.
And that's if you say that it all came from one cell.
But didn't you just say that's what common descent is about?
Common descent means that you'll get certain lines. But whether it came from one cell or there were different cells in different places that started this thing off, I think that these are some of the discussions that go on. But the theory of universal common descent and neutral drift. So drift is the changes, the differences in the genes between myself and my children. There are natural changes that occur.
Over time, with each generation.
With each generation. So it's more new. This drifting occur, and it's the mechanisms behind universal common descent. So what is the mechanism? How did universal common descent occur? And by mechanisms, we're talking about what is the biochemistry? What happened in the molecular framework to cause these changes? So this is the argument with evolution. And there's a lot to the theory of universal common descent. I've call together my friends and I say, I want to understand this. And it wasn't easy to get them to explain it to me. And so many of them would never even engage with me. And I even put out a cry. I said, out on my website, I said, I'll pay for lunch. Just explain this stuff to me because you guys really buy into it. So very few people would actually come forward and really engage with me.
And why?
Well, because I said, I will not contest with you. I will only ask you questions when I stop understanding. And I think many of them were afraid of the questioning because it's hard to answer these questions. And it's not easy. And so I finally got a call from a guy and he invited me and we got together and we spent a weekend together or 3 days together. And he explained to me, he's a mathematical geneticist, and he explained to me the theory of universal common descent and neutral drift. And there's a lot going to the theory, a lot going for it. But now, remember what he said, that it's about the mechanisms within universal common descent.
Now, I just want to go back. The mechanisms within universal common descent. First question, why are we talking about this? When we're talking about evolution, why do you go immediately to this idea of universal common descent? Because it's not a term that I've heard very much.
Right. So evolution is now characterized within universal common descent. So we're tracing lines back. We're tracing back from where we are, where different
organisms. This is what Darwin said. In other words, that we are all – I mean, that's the idea of evolution. All right. Notice that there's a tree, so to speak, and that we go back and back and back and back. Universal common descent. You've said that it needn't be from the same single-celled creature, that there may be several, obviously. I mean, if life is popping up everywhere in the prebiotic soup on the surface of the Earth a few billion years ago, obviously there could be several cells and that they could all take off in different directions. So we don't need to quibble, but we are saying that everything on planet Earth, every kind of life on planet Earth ultimately can be traced back to a single cell from which it evolved.
That is correct.
Okay. And that's what evolution is. That's what we're taught in schools. So where do you have a problem with that?
Okay. So if we look, say, at the human genome, this whole idea of universal common descent, when we look at human beings and we start making relation to what may have been common ancestors, what happens is all of that is done with 1.5% of our DNA. So if you look at all the DNA within us, this whole idea of universal common descent is primarily focused on just 1.5% of the DNA. I'll give you an example. Some people will say that we're 99% of our DNA is the same as in a chimpanzee. That is correct. If you look at 1.5% of our DNA, there's still 98.5% of our DNA that used to be called junk DNA and is now more fittingly called intergenic DNA.
Okay. Stephen Meyer talked about this, that this term junk DNA – you know, again, this is we're talking to a lay audience here and you're talking to a lay host. Junk DNA means what? What did it mean?
What it meant is it was the part of the DNA, the part of the code, the part of the blueprint that our bodies never are using to build us. Only 1.5% of the blueprint. So if you have a blueprint that's 100 pages, you're going to build your structure, your building, just based on 1.5.
Okay, so haven't people like Francis Collins, for example, suggested that the 98.5% that we're not using kind of proves that there was a random process and we got this sort of appendix, as it were, except it's 98.5%. That would be like the appendix would be, you know, 20 times bigger than we are. But I'm saying that isn't that the suggestion that's what junk DNA is? It kind of proves that we're not designed by some intelligent creator.
I'm sorry. I don't know what the suggestions have been regarding the 98.5%.
Well, why do they call it junk DNA? They call it junk DNA because they have said up until recently it's useless. And its uselessness kind of proves that how we got here was not orchestrated by some huge intelligence, because then what's all this junk doing here? It's kind of like the appendix. You say, what is this? It's obvious that it's just this thing left over from some process. And it, you know, it couldn't have been designed. Did God design the appendix? People would say, no one designed it. We just kind of ended up with it. It's part of the process. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour of Rice University. Stick around.
It's just like a dream. She is shining just like lightning.
Are you ready for an inspiring story that reminds us we're never too young to make an impact?
Phoenix, over here!
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us!
An orphan boy, Phoenix Wilder, befriends a giant elephant on the African savannah and defeats poachers.
This boy will bring us a huge ransom.
Let me go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure. Rated G. Click PhoenixWilder.com.
Hi, this is Jack from Banyan Hill. You might have heard about that $34.6 billion that's expected to be doled out in what we call freedom checks. Huge checks that are changing people's lives from coast to coast. People like Sean from Pittsburgh. In fact, he's on the phone right now. Sean, you there?
Yes, I am, Jack.
Sean, let me ask you, how do you like getting these massive checks in your mailbox every month?
Well, Jack, we used to put stuff on credit cards living paycheck to paycheck. But now, after we started collecting a specific kind of freedom check, I have to say, life's a lot more fun.
I bet it is. In fact, getting massive freedom checks is fun no matter who you are. And with $34.6 billion expected to be paid out in private, non-government money starting as early as May 1st, now's the time to stake your claim on some cash. To get all the details, go to www.freedomchecks127.com before the May 1st deadline. That's www.freedomchecks127.com.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Sweet as
right, that's enough of that. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. James Tour about, yeah, you guessed it, science. Jim, we were just talking about so-called junk DNA. I'm sure most of the people listening to this program don't know what that is. They're not up on this. But we were talking about that the impression I got is that the reason people call it junk DNA is because they say, look, it's left over from some process. But Stephen Meyer has said to me, and you're now adding to this, that in recent years, suddenly what's been called junk DNA looks – in fact, not to be junk, but to have some kind of purpose all along.
Yes, that is true. And before I go there in large part, let me just say that, remember, we are related in this line of universal common descent by just looking at the 1.5%.
Right.
Now, when we look at the 98.5% that was formerly called junk DNA, what we're finding through a project called Project ENCODE, which was started by the U.S. government in about 2003.
Is it ENC?
ENC, ENCODE.
ENCODE.
Project ENCODE. And it's an acronym for Encyclopedia of Nucleic Acids, that's an acronym for it. But what it does, it was to look at the 98.5% and see if there are regions in there that are different than what we consider as our common ancestors.
Uh-huh.
And what they're finding is that within that 98.5%, there are distinct differences between human beings and what we formerly thought were our common ancestors, distinct differences. And then, so at first there were about 100 such areas that were found to be different. And so they dismissed it. Oh, there's only 100. Now, a couple of years later, there turns out to be thousands of areas that are different.
Suggesting what?
Suggesting that we're not commonly descended. Suggesting that this idea of universal common descent has a little chink in its armor. That we're finding these areas that are not the same. And then at first these were dismissed, saying, oh, the experiments were not properly done. There was this shotgun type wild experiments. What they're finding that, no, some of them were done very well and they can be reproduced. That these are segments that coded for enzymes to build the entity in a human being that are not in the chimpanzee.
When has this new information come to light?
So the project started in 2003, and I would say in the last five years, we're really starting to gather up. And in the last 2 years, it's exploded to thousands of regions within the intergenic DNA that code for genes. Remember, they code for enzymes, meaning that these are enzymes that build our body that are different than what we have deemed in our line of universal common descent, things that we said that we have a common ancestor. So we're turning out to be different. And that's not the only thing.
What else is there?
There's something called orphan genes. And these orphan genes are genes that are unique to a certain taxon, unique to a certain species. And we're finding that there are unique orphan genes. And at first, they only found a couple of them in human beings that were different from the chimpanzee.
Right.
And now they're finding more and more of these unique elements. So this whole idea that we have 99% of our DNA is the same as a chimpanzee, 70% of our DNA is the same as a dandelion. All of this is when we're looking at 1.5%. When you look at 98.5% of the DNA that was formerly dismissed as junk, now we're seeing the real differences. So when you look at the grand scheme of universal common descent, which is like the Bible for those who are studying in the area of evolutionary biology, to talk about universal common descent, this is the main framework. Now you start seeing that within this main framework, there's a lot that's showing that we are not universally descended.
Do you think the people in the heads of their fields in evolutionary biology are dealing with this or willing to deal with this? I mean, this is big stuff, and obviously the people doing this research aren't kids. These are people at the head of their fields. What do you think they're making of it, or do they say publicly, we just don't hear about it?
No, I think that the public announcement of this is not large. Those who are really firm believers in universal common descent, and again, I have to say universal common descent has many things that look good for it. But again, that's within the 1.5% of the DNA. When you go beyond the 1.5%, then it's showing to be much different. At first, there was denial. They tried to dismiss it, and they said, it's just a few. It's not many. And now we're finding thousands of elements of difference. It's going to be harder and harder for them to just summarily dismiss this. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not an answer to this. This is just confronting the latest theory that they've held on to. That doesn't mean that there is not an answer, because science is an amazing thing. You can find out solutions.
But isn't this the issue, is that people are wedded to a certain paradigm, and their faith in that paradigm is so great that they're unwilling to move? In other words, that no matter what you throw at them, it will take many, many, many decades before this evidence might move them to think we've got the wrong paradigm.
Yes, and that often happens, and a lot of that happens because, and I know this from my own self, from my own research, you start proposing things in the literature and your career is built around something. And when somebody comes with ideas that start picking on this, you say, well, scientists should just go where the science takes them. I mean, we're human beings. We have a lot invested here. We've written a lot of papers here. We don't want to say, oh, yeah, you're right. These last 30 years of papers that I've written are a bunch of nonsense. That's hard to do. Plus, you're funding your research group from this. So you're very slow to say, yeah, what I'm doing, it's not right anymore. Take away my money, guys. This is hard to do. I mean, right. We're regular people. And it's not just this. There are other pieces that are hard to understand. So just within universal common descent, there are these problems.
I guess what fascinates me is that we have this false idea in the culture. I've talked about this a lot. I've talked to John Lennox and others. We have this false idea in the culture that science is somehow anti-faith, or that faith is somehow anti-science. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I mean, science has never caused a problem with my faith, and my faith has never caused a problem for my science. I mean, for me, it's all one. It's one composite of who I am. So I think for those who may be weak in their faith, maybe it causes them problems. For those who may be weak in their science, it might cause them problems. But when I look at science, it actually strengthens my faith, because I look at this and I say, oh my goodness, how does this thing form? One day we were trying to build a molecular computer, and we had this box of molecules that we were trying to make into a synthetic brain. We actually called it the synthetic brain. And we're trying to do simple little things. And then my 3-year-old son comes running toward me with his hands up and shouting, Daddy. I said, how did you do that? How did that happen? How do you have a brain like this that learns and progresses? And then you see a little mosquito just coming and sensing that you're there and sting, and then emit small molecules to cause other mosquitoes to call them in. And then they fly away with all this coordination, hard to really grab them. It's a tiny little brain. And I'm trying to build a molecular-based computer, just trying to make a simple AND gate or an OR gate, little simple logic elements out of this. And you say, biology is amazing. And you just speak the glories of God.
This reminds me, literally on the first page of my first book, Everything You Always Want to Know About God But We're Afraid to Ask, I refer to my great-grandfather. My great-grandmother shared this with my dad in the 1930s or 40s, that her husband, who was himself a genius, my great-grandfather, Panayis Vergotis, one day, they were probably engaged, picked up an ant from the ground. This must have been in the 1890s, and put it in front of her and said, tell Mr. Newton to make me one of these. And I thought, that sums up what we're discussing, and it's just what you've been saying. In other words, an ant is so complex that we could gag with horror if somebody said, I'll give you 10,000 years to create one of these. Here you go. It's that complex. Of course, Einstein had not yet been invented in 1890. we're going to be right back. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour of Rice University. His website, JM Tour, J-M-T-O-U-R, JMTour.com. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back.
My fellow Americans, remember when WikiLeaks exposed all those government secrets in 2013? Well, you'll be shocked to hear this secret too. If you have any of your hard-earned savings in a 401k, IRA, or other retirement account, listen up. You've been lied to about your retirement. It's all because inflation is secretly much, much worse than you know. We've got our hands on a secret document that exposes the government lies and shows how the value of your money is practically leaking away. To get your hands on this government lies exposed report, call Noble Gold right now at 800-294-4280 and leave your email on this secure 24/7 voicemail. This document also reveals a secret way you can use gold to protect your 401k or IRA from this inflation catastrophe. Just call 800-294-4280 now to get a free copy of this secret document that shows how gold could save your retirement. Again, call Noble Gold at 800-294-4280 and leave your email on the 24/7 voicemail now. Call 800-294-4280.
Your cell phone's connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your laptop. Your laptop's connected to your Wi-Fi. 1 week link and thieves are in.
The digital world is so connected these days, it just takes 1 week link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats of today's connected world.
Your desktop's connected to your smart TV. Your smart TV's connected to your smartwatch.
Threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web. And online threats to your devices, like ransomware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices. And if there's a problem, our agents will work to fix it.
Your smartwatch is connected to your video doorbell. Your video doorbell's connected to your smart lock.
Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
I love you.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I believe that's Casey and Sunshine Band. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour here with me in the studio. We're being televised. If you have Metaxas Super, you can watch this conversation. It's fascinating. We use our hands because we're ethnic types. Okay, Jim Tour, we're talking about evolution. You want to talk about mechanisms. What do you mean?
So, remember, one of the two important elements within evolution now are universal common descent and the mechanisms by which this change occurs.
Okay, and the theory, of course, has always been natural selection.
Right, and so now that's moved on.
What do you mean?
So it's not so much natural selection as to things that are getting taken out. It's the neutral drift, the drift that occurs from parent to offspring.
Okay, this is a big deal. You live in this world, but to suddenly be told not so much natural selection. My response initially is what? Excuse me? What do you mean not natural selection? We've been taught forever that it's natural selection is the process. Wallace, in whatever year, figured it out. Wrote his letter to Darwin. Darwin freaked out. He wanted to be first. And we all know, it's natural selection. You're telling me, no, there's this other thing called generational drift?
Yeah, this neutral drift.
Neutral drift, meaning?
Yes, meaning that there are small genetic changes that occur from parent to child to parent to child. And those account for the changes that you see, these evolutionary changes. And so you want to understand those mechanisms. The mechanisms are the biochemistry by the way these things change. So I push them on the mechanisms. Show me the mechanisms. And so I'm an organic chemist. I want to see the molecular changes that occur. So even if they haven't proven it, just show me how they might occur. What kind of molecular changes do you show? Can you show me going on? And many people got frustrated with my asking. I said, why are you getting frustrated? Just show me. And so some would send me papers and there's no mechanism there. One guy got so upset, he said, read it. I said, I don't know where to look. I can't find them. And he sent me a long list of Google URLs. He said, check this, check. None of those papers showed me molecular structure. I said, where are the molecules? So they'll say, look at the changes within an immune system. So the immune system is presented with something that will attack the body, and it's able to morph itself to now adapt to that and fight it off. I say, okay, the immune system changes, but I never saw the immune system becoming a digestive system. It remained what it was.
Okay, so the idea is that things can change, but they can only change so far. They still remain in their track, so to speak. So you're saying when an immune system changes and changes, it never becomes anything but an immune system. So isn't this kind of like talking about the difference between macrobiology and microbiology? That a finch, the beak on a finch can change and change and change, but the finch never becomes, you know, an ostrich.
Yeah. Again, we have to be careful of the terms macroevolution, because you can get away with it. I can't. So I want to be careful with the terms. I understand what you're saying. And yes, the analogy is there. But even within the immune system now, even knowing the mechanism within the immune system, something that we know occurs, they don't even have the mechanism for that. And they were the ones who told me that it's all about universal common descent and this neutral drift and the mechanisms behind this. So what I showed in the last segment is that the universal common descent is having real problems when you consider the intergenic DNA, the other 98.5% of the DNA.
And by the way, this is something fairly new.
Yes, okay. Something fairly new, yeah. In the last few years. And then the other problem is we don't have the mechanisms. The mechanisms aren't there. So to suggest that we have the mechanisms is not true. We don't have the mechanisms. You don't even have a proposal for how these changes occurred. There's not even a proposal for this. So things start to weaken a lot.
Okay,
but it's not just withering around the edges. It's real weakening of the foundation.
So it's not random genetic mutations that's no longer on the table?
Well, some people would say the random genetic mutation is this neutral drift. It is this genetic changes that are occurring
right.
From parent to child.
Okay.
So – but what I'm saying is the underpinning for this is not as strong as we would like. That's not to say that they won't come up with this.
Right.
They may well come up with this. My only suggestion here is if we're going to be teaching students, why not teach them the foundation is a little weak. This is not there. This is not there. And to throw everything onto this ship and to say we've got it all figured out is just not true, at least from my perspective as a synthetic chemist. I got to deal with molecular structure, and it's just not there.
This reminds me that this is kind of what human beings do, right? In other words, we have a paradigm and we hang on to it until it explodes. So in other words, if somebody says that I'm sticking to the Usher chronology, that the world is the you know, this old and whatever, and now I've got to hang on to this. There's more, let's say, geologic evidence, and but I hang on to this because I feel that this is a given, that I cannot let go of this, that this is an assumption that is not something I can ever discard. The whole thing falls down. What you're suggesting and what I think actual science and actual truth-seeking suggests is that you can throw away anything. Truth is truth, and you can go where the science leads. And similarly with people who say, I believe in the Bible, if you believe in the Bible, then science can't disprove the Bible. It's true. You shouldn't be afraid of somebody discovering this or something like that. Truth is a good thing. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back talking to Dr. James Tour. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Eric.
Yes. I'd like to tell you about Relief Factor.
Yes.
Relief Factor, the website is relieffactor.com, is something I've been taking for quite a while.
I know. You've taken it on the air.
I've taken it literally on the air.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I think they deal with pain and they kind of think, well, that's just the way it is now. Mm. And I say, wait a second. That may be. But you know what? I would try Relief Factor first, which is what I did. It really does help. It's an anti-inflammatory, but it's botanical. So it's all natural. It's not like taking Advil or some crazy thing like that, which is ultimately toxic. You don't want to put that stuff in your body. So I take Relief Factor. You can take it for 3 weeks and you'll know if it works for you, because there are all these different neural pain pathways, and each one of the things in the Relief Factor package deals with a different one. So I recommend that people get the Quick Start Pack for $19.95, and then you'll know. It is available at relieffactor.com. I would just go there, go to relieffactor.com, check it out. It works for me, relieffactor.com.
A one-night event.
He just arrived. He cannot survive alone.
We will find him.
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us.
An inspiring story for the entire family.
He's a very bad man. We're killing elephants.
The story of a 13-year-old orphan, Phoenix Wilder, who befriends an elephant on the African savannah.
I think this means we're friends now.
And together, they battle elephant poachers.
Let's go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Click phoenixwilder.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-651-4888 now. That's 800-651-4888 for your free Reputation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-651-4888 to learn more. 800-651-4888. That's 800-651-4888. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
With Blinds.com, upgrade your home for less than almost any other home improvement. Just go to Blinds.com and they'll help you to find the perfect blinds, guide you on how to measure, and install in minutes. You get free samples, free shipping, and free design consultation.
Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Now through April 22nd, save up to 20% off site-wide when you go to Blinds.com/shutters. Save up to 20% off site-wide at Blinds.com/shutters. Rules and restrictions apply.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Eric Metaxas Show, talking to Dr. James Tour of Rice University. I was just asking you, Jim, about this idea that we hang on to paradigms and people are afraid to let go. They feel like if I let go of this, then it means science is wrong or something like that. There are these paradigms that people hang on to, you know, whether it's natural common descent or whether it's, just Darwinian evolution, that even to question it, you ought not to question it. And I just think it's ironic because people in the church have done the same thing where they say, you don't ask those questions. We don't want to go there, because there's a kind of a fear that if you ask that question, it may lead you away from the faith. And I think that scientists are guilty of the same kind of thing, because we're just human beings. And whatever paradigm we've got, it sort of becomes our whole world. We're wedded to it. It becomes a kind of a faith.
Yes, that's right. And that's why when my colleagues will ask, they'll say, do you believe in evolution? And again, it gets to that word belief. Is it a religion that I should believe in it? Or is there substance here behind it? And so then what happens is the key here is there a plan for body plan changes when you have gross changes within a structure? People will say, well, we do evolution in our laboratories all the time. Well, sure you do. You do this in your little test tube. These are very small changes. These are modifications that change these structures. But you never see gross body plan changes where you go from a four-legged creature and then those go into arms and two of the legs become arms and it starts standing erect. We have no understanding of a mechanism behind this.
Okay, to give an example, I think David Berlinski writes about this in his book, The Devil's Delusion, or one of his books. But the idea that a whale was once, something like a cow that eventually wades into the water and develops some kind of rudimentary amphibious system. And then, you know, over millions of years, this land mammal becomes a whale. He mocks the idea, and I love the way he mocks things. It's very funny. But he says, look, you don't understand what it takes for a cow to, you know, we're not children drawing this with crayons. It's incredibly complex. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's a gross body plan changes that would have to occur.
But describe it, because most people, you look at a whale, you look at a cow, you know, we're not aware when you say gross body plan changes. For example, what?
So many mechanisms have to change to take away his legs and to give him a tail that's going to propel him in water, that is going to give him the ability to breathe in water and go down and then come up and breathe. There is no mechanism. There is no understanding of that. And so what happens is they latch on to this and they say, oh, this is how it happened, with no understanding of mechanism. We're not allowed to do that in chemistry. But in the area of evolution, they do this all the time without mechanisms to make gross extrapolations. And all people are doing is coming up and saying, whoa, slow down. Show me the data. Show me how you got from here to there. And then you'll start seeing that it really is more like a religion, because the way they fight this thing is not scientific now. Now it is ad hominem attack and attack on an individual.
In other words, but again, there's great irony. It's kind of like when the church, you know, opposed Galileo, or that there's a power structure that is exerting its power to crush the search for truth. And now it's the scientific establishment that says, we're big, we've got a lot of money, we've got a lot of cultural cachet. If you go wrong, we'll crush you. We will, you know, because they have so much invested in it. I mean, I assume that people in your field, or I should say other scientists, have come after you because some of what you're saying is very threatening.
Yeah, it is threatening to them, and I've never even said that I can disprove evolution. Never. All I'm doing is asking some questions, some basic questions. And what happens is when you're not so sure of yourself, that's what bothers you when people start asking questions. If you're sure what you've got, it doesn't bother you at all. Okay, bring it on. Ask me all the questions. And that goes to show that there's real problems here, real problems. And all I do is I never suggest I can disprove it. All I can do is ask questions. And it doesn't take many questions before people start getting very angry at me.
You're kind of like a Socratic gadfly. You know what happened to him, right?
I think he died.
I think you have a clue. He was forced to die. Forced to die, meaning kind of killed.
Killed him.
But it is interesting. If you ask the right questions, that's sort of the most troubling thing you can do. Hey, listen, Jesus did effectively the same thing. You ask the right questions and smoke comes out of people's ears because you're putting your finger on the very sore spot that they don't want you to touch.
But generally, in science, that doesn't happen. People will answer you. They'll give you the data. But when you get into these sort of areas, like the universal common descent, like evolution, that's when the smoke starts coming out. That's revealing in itself.
Why?
Because if the data's there, you just defend it using the data. You don't do an ad hominem attack. You don't try to destroy somebody's career. You just show the data and you silence them.
Have you had experiences of where you – I don't know if you can talk about this publicly, but where you've been disenfranchised or publicly – I was going to say either publicly attacked or surreptitiously attacked, that you would suspect it's because people have an ideology that's threatened?
Well, at first I didn't think so. I thought, well, maybe the things weren't things were happening just because of natural occurrences. But then it became more and more blatant, to the point where I was told to my face that these certain things are going to happen now because of this. And so, you know, I just press on. I do my science and I do what I need to do. I don't even work in the area of evolution or common descent or origin of life. Those aren't even my areas of study. So I can just come from the outside and throw little questions in, and it causes all sorts of problems.
Well, it is interesting, but I think it's good to cause problems. I think good can come of it. And it strikes me that, I've always believed that because I believe in science, I believe that science is leading us to belief in God. In other words, that you just keep looking at the science and at the facts and at the evidence, and it's going to lead you in the direction of truth, whatever truth is. And it strikes me that more and more, it's leading us toward the conclusion that there is a God who created the universe and is a grand intelligence and so on and so forth. That's where the science is leading us. And, you know, people can draw their own conclusions. We're going to be right back. It's very important that we listen to a little David Cassidy. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour. His website, JM Tour. That's T-O-U-R, JMTour.com. If I could do what I want to, misquoted, and can we really trust the Bible? Find out in Fragments of Truth, a new documentary presented by Faith Life Films and Fathom Events in movie theaters nationwide for one night, April 24th.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based?
Where did we find them? Where are they housed today?
Discover groundbreaking new research on the most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament and learn from the experts who know them best, featuring Bible scholars Dr. Craig A. Evans and Dr. Dan Wallace, and narrated by John Rhys-Davies of The Lord of the Rings.
Some have said that the text has been deliberately changed. We're going to look at the actual text that survived from antiquity, and we're going to talk to the experts who know best.
During this month before the premiere, we'll have the Bible scholars on my show to talk about the movie and their thoughts about making this movie.
We want to get to the truth of it, to separate fact from fiction, sober scholarship from sensationalism.
Get your tickets today for the one night only April 24th national premiere at fragmentsoftruthmovie.com. That's fragmentsoftruthmovie.com.
You work hard to recruit the best talent for your business, so you understand how important benefits are. Today's candidates are looking for more than just insurance and retirement accounts. They want benefits they can use every day and perks that help them achieve that all-important work-life balance. With Veridesk Standing Desk Solutions, you can create the healthy office culture they're looking for, where employees can move more throughout the day, so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. The new Veridesk ProDesk 60 Electric is the perfect way to create your active workspace. It's a commercial-grade electric standing desk that lets you sit or stand with the touch of a button, and it assembles in under 5 minutes with no need for professional installers or labor costs. The ProDesk 60 Electric ships for free, and thanks to our 30-day guarantee, if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. To learn how you can try the ProDesk 60 Electric in your office, visit veridesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking science with Dr. James Tour, organic chemist from Rice University. You wanted to talk a little bit about robots. We just got a few minutes left here in our third hour together. What about robots?
So everybody's building robots. Lots
you're supposed
of robots.
To, you're supposed to rip off your – and I'm supposed to see wires and stuff. That's the big reveal. So let me tell you about robots. You just pull it off. And then I realize now I know why he's so smart. Okay, seriously, what about robots?
So everybody's building robots. Look how the robots are made. They're made out of silicon chips. They're made out of plastic and metal parts and composite carbon materials, and they put them together. If we really understood so much about molecules and how they come together to form life, and how you can take different parts of life and evolve them into other parts of life. Why don't we make robots out of biological material? Why aren't we just causing cells to assemble in a certain way to give us now the system, the mechanical system that we want, where the mechanics is all based on biological framework? If it's ubiquitous around us, biology is all around us. Let us just mimic it if we understand it so well. No, we never build our robots that way. We build them out of silicon and metal and plastic.
That's how I've always built my robots.
Exactly.
You know?
And you would think that evolutionary biologists would just start building robots out of biological frameworks. But why not? Because it's too hard. We have no idea how to do it. That's why we don't do it that way. We have no idea. So to say that we understand and all these things could happen just naturally, and then we can't do it, we don't even go near that. We're not building robots that way for a reason, because it's too hard.
It strikes me that your science, it strikes me that science has driven you deeper and deeper into your faith. In other words, that science almost daily confirms to you your faith in the God of the Bible.
The beauty of science is just extraordinary. To be a Christian, to be one who loves God and who feels that Jesus Christ has revealed God come in the flesh and has visited me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Scriptures, and to be able to see all of what's been created, I just have to glory to God. This is just utterly amazing. It is a beautiful thing to be a scientist and one who believes in God.
Well, I'd like to think that your boldness in this would encourage other scientists. I'm sure there are many scientists who are men and women of faith, but they're shy about it because it is rather a hostile environment.
It is a hostile environment. My position has somewhat shielded me, somewhat protected me. My advice to younger people is it could well threaten your tenure. You might want to wait until you have tenure, because if they've taken these shots at me, they'd take much harder shots at other people. So you do have to be careful these days.
We've got less than a minute. What is next for you? What are you working on?
So we are trying to translate the graphene nanoribbons for spinal cord repair. We're just starting a new company that'll take a foothold in Israel. We'll start the work there. We have another company where we're working on traumatic brain injury and stroke with carbon nanoparticles, and then moving into other domains with material science and aeronautics and computer memory.
So you're basically resting on your laurels.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jim, Dr. James Tour, just a joy to have you. Thanks so much for being with me.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.